Well, after a fascinating first week of the Premier League season, Game Week 2 promises to be even better. Two of last season's top five teams clash, as do two of the newly promoted sides. So plenty to look forward to on this week's Assist. To the Assist in association with Free Super Tips, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined again this week by both Dan Childs and Tom McGarry to talk you through their thoughts on this weekend's Premier League and EFL action. But before we look ahead, we're going to look back first on the opening weekend of the Premier League campaign. And in particular, Dan, we'll start with performance of the week and what impressed you the most.
Yeah, Sunderland, for me, I mean, to come up as the playoff winners and to start so well. I know West Ham have been having their issues, but a 3-0 win. I mentioned last week, I like a lot of the business they've done. Players like Adingra, Xhaka, Reinildo from Atletico Madrid coming in, all started that game, played well. But three of the guys that were still there, you know, got the goals. So Ballard again had a fantastic game defensively and got the goal. Outstanding opening day win for them.
Yeah, big win for Sunderland. Tom, anybody else caught your eye?
Yeah, I agree. Sunderland were fantastic. I think it was refreshing as well, based on what we've seen over the last couple of seasons from the newly promoted sides, that two of them were able to win at the first attempt, with Leeds beating Everton on Monday night. The team that really caught my eye, though, were Nottingham Forest. They beat a poor Brentford side, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And the football they played in that game, for me, was really, really scintillating and a lot more forward thinking perhaps than we saw from them at times last season. Morgan Gibbs-White and Elliot Anderson, that understanding they have in the middle of the park looks fantastic, and potentially those two could figure in an England shirt together as well as this season develops.
Yeah, well, the top three in the betting, Liverpool, Arsenal and Manchester City, all got off to winning starts at the top end of the table, as probably predicted by most. In terms of new signings, Dan, anybody in particular caught your eye over the opening weekend?
I think kudos for Spurs. He caught my eye in the Super Cup game against PSG, and then with the two assists and a really lively performance against Burnley. I think he looks a really good signing for Spurs.
Yeah, I was really impressed with kudos. I thought he really sort of pulled the strings in that final third for Tottenham on Saturday. Tom, I think you were particularly impressed with somebody from the Champions.
Yeah, Hugo Ekitike, who was good against Crystal Palace in the Community Shield to start the season. And he was really good as well against Bournemouth on Friday night. A little bit of luck about how his goal came about in that game, but I think he earned his luck, and he showed that he's not just a centre forward. He's capable of dropping deep, linking the play, playing as a number 10 as well as a number nine. So yeah, he really impressed me, and you know, the better he played, it kind of made the case for Liverpool needing to sign Alexander Isak. It probably lowered that case. So I was impressed by Ekitike.
Well, of course, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Premier League action very shortly indeed. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share on YouTube, of course, and leave us your comments and what you think on the new format of the Assist and any of the key talking points in football. Abdul Kadir 927 was in touch and said, I know it's early days, but Liverpool's new signings are going to find it difficult to cope in the Premier League. It was the older lads that did the business against Bournemouth. And Tony H.I. Nielsen said, are Chelsea over or undercooked? Everyone thinks they can predict what the World Club Cup has done to the players. Well, we shall see how Chelsea react to that draw with Crystal Palace. They are, of course, in action against West Ham on Friday. We'll get to that shortly, but we'll look down the Premier League fixtures in our what we class as importance order, and we'll start off with Saturday's early kickoff. It's at the Etihad Stadium, where Manchester City take on Tottenham. City 12-25 to claim the 3 points. It's 21-4 for Spurs and 7-2 the draw. You've touched upon Mohamed Kudus, Dan, in terms of his performance on the opening weekend. What did you make of Spurs overall?
I thought Burnley were probably unlucky to lose by three goals. Gave up quite a few chances Spurs did to Burnley that Burnley didn't quite take. I think it'll there's this assumption that Thomas Frank's going to immediately kind of, you know, make Spurs solid and a lot tougher to play against. I think it might actually take a little bit of time, and there's certainly things to fix in the creative sense as well, with Kulusevski and Maddison out injured. The deal with Eze has collapsed now, with him going to looks like he's going to Arsenal as well. So I think there's still some issues to sort out, but some positives with the Kudus's performance, and Richarlison as well has been a big plus. Played superb in the Super Cup and with his goals against Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to you prior to Saturday's game. We were sort of asking how you thought Spurs would line up, and you thought that Richarlison would get the nod ahead of Solanke, and he certainly delivered with those two goals. Spurs have got a reasonable record at Man City when you consider other people's records there in recent seasons. Dan, how do you see this going?
They've got, you know, a great record. I mean, won 4-0 there last season. I think Dragusin and Ben Davies were the centre-back partnership, unless my memory's letting me down. But I don't think they had Van de Ven or Romero for that match. They're going to have both this time. But I do think that City will win the game in a high scoring. I'm going to go for Manchester City and both teams to score. I think, as I mentioned before, the amount of chances that Burnley created, Manchester City, have the start that they've got off to, I thought they were very impressive, actually. I was kind of concerned how they were going to go. You know, only had one pre-season game away to Palermo. None of the players played for longer than 45 minutes in that game. But after a kind of a slow start at Wolves, they sort of got into the game and then showed a real clinical edge and made what could have been a tricky opening day fixture look reasonably comfortable. Haaland's going to be full of confidence after his two goals. Reinders in midfield had a really good game, got his goal. That kind of reduces the pressure to really rush Rodri back in, to the midfield area. He's kind of still working his way back to fitness. So I think I can see Spurs, because of the kind of Richarlison on form and Kudus starting, I can see him scoring, but I don't see them keeping City at bay. City to win and both teams to score for me.
Yeah, Tom, City might have looked upon that as a potential banana skin at Wolves last week. And I think a few people maybe looking at the starting lineup were thinking, what we're going to get here from Pep Guardiola's men, but it might not have been at their exact best, but certainly an impressive display.
Yeah, they were efficient, and I was quite impressed by them overall in that game at Molineux. Tijani Reinders, as Dan was mentioning, he was probably someone we could and should have flagged up as an impressive performer on debut last week, and he was really good, scoring a goal, involved in a couple of others, and there seems like a decent link between himself and Erling Haaland already, which is potentially ominous for the rest of the Premier League. I'm a little bit more positive about Spurs' chances, though, at the Etihad than Dan. We mentioned their record, that 4-0 victory they had last November at the venue. But I've looked back a little bit further, and since 2015, these two sides have played 25 times. They've won 11 times apiece with three draws. So it doesn't matter who the manager really is with Spurs. They change things up, change the philosophy. They still seem to have a game plan to disrupt Manchester City, particularly Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. So I just have a sneaky suspicion that Spurs could get a result. Maybe not win the game, because that is a big, big ask away at City. But I think they've got enough about them to get something.
Well, he did, of course, Thomas Frank, gain a victory as Brentford manager at the Etihad before. We shall see whether he can repeat the trick this time around. We're going to go from early Saturday to late Monday now for the second game in focus, and that is at St James's Park, where Newcastle take on Liverpool. A lot of talk, I'm sure, in the build-up about Alexander Isak, but we'll concentrate on the players who are going to be playing. Newcastle 12-5 to claim the victory. Liverpool evens and the draw 14-5. Tom, you get first dibs on this one. How do you see this one going?
Well, one thing is guaranteed. St James's Park is going to be rocking, isn't it? It's going to be a really, really good atmosphere. Whether Alexander Isak is still a Newcastle player or if he's joined Liverpool, that's probably unlikely at this stage. But yeah, I think this could be a really entertaining game. This is the first meeting between the two sides since the League Cup victory for Newcastle at Wembley last season, when Isak, ironically enough, was on the score sheet. They don't have a good overall record over recent years, Newcastle against Liverpool, because that victory in the League Cup final ended a 17-match winless run against the Reds. I think this one, though, rather than looking at the out-and-out result, I'm looking at goals in the game. We know traditionally in the past, it's been an entertaining contest. The pair of 4-3s they had in the 90s. The last meeting at St. James's Park as well last season ended 3-3. There was a 4-2 recently in the not-too-distant past at Anfield. So I'd be expecting goals in this game. And that's before you even to take into account just how open and entertaining Liverpool were last weekend against Bournemouth, scoring at will. But we saw the defensive vulnerabilities they have at the back. Antoine Semenyo in particular exploiting those. I didn't think Ibrahima Konate or Virgil van Dijk had the best of games against Bournemouth. So I'm predicting goals in this game. I'm going for over 3.5 in the contest. I think it's going to be feisty. It's going to be entertaining under the lights on a Monday night. But yeah, at least 4 goals in the match for me.
I think the one word that Tom used there to describe Liverpool has been used by a number of people over the last week was open at the back. Have Newcastle, though, got the firepower up front to take advantage?
Probably not. And also, I mean, Arne Slot's no fool. He's going to have seen what everybody else has seen. And I'm sure that he'll try and he'll be aware of what a tough game this is going to be, where the atmosphere is going to be absolutely rocking. And I can't imagine that Liverpool are going to play anywhere near as open and carefree as they did in their opening game. I mean, will he change personnel? Possibly. I certainly think that he'll be asking his players to be more disciplined. And Newcastle really impressed me at Villa. I fancied Villa strong last weekend, but Newcastle were much the better side. And if they'd had a cutting edge, I think they'd have won the game comfortably. But at the moment, they haven't got a cutting edge. So much as we don't want to mention Alexander Isak, that lack of cutting edge is probably going to lead to them not winning the game. I'm going to go for a draw.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to the third of the games at the weekend now, and we've got another Friday night match to look forward to in the Premier League. It's a London derby at the London Stadium, where West Ham play host to Chelsea. West Ham 15-4, it's 7-10 Chelsea and 29-10 the draw. If West Ham fans were, how can we put it, downbeat, shall we say, down before the season started, there was a few ranting and raving after last weekend.
Yeah, there's going to be concerns if you go to Sunderland and lose 3-0 to a newly promoted team. I thought the game was pretty even. I mean, not that's a fantastic amount of solace for West Ham fans until the first goal goes in. I think sometimes you get a sense that there'll be a reaction. This is their first home game for West Ham, big London derby. I just can't believe they're going to be anywhere near as bad as they were last weekend. I know they've not done a lot of business in the summer, but you still look through their side. They've still got some decent quality players, Paqueta, Fulkrug, Bowen. There's some players there that can hurt Chelsea. And Chelsea were not great, were they? And I wasn't surprised that they weren't that great against Crystal Palace. I mentioned about Manchester City, you know, impressing me despite being at the Club World Cup. Chelsea obviously were at the Club World Cup for a couple of weeks longer, and they didn't look ready for me for that Palace game. Didn't create loads. You know, could have ended up losing the game. So I think I wouldn't be rushing to be back in Chelsea at the moment at this stage of the season. Certainly not odds on away in a tricky London derby. So I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go West Ham will draw, double chance, odds against.
Yeah, you could argue, as Dan said there, because of that frustrating draw last week, Tom, that both sides need to bounce back here.
Yeah, it was underwhelming for Chelsea, wasn't it, against Crystal Palace. But West Ham, that was such a poor result away at the Stadium of Light. Yes, it's probably the worst time to be facing a newly promoted side away from home, but the way they capitulated in the second half would be a real concern for Graham Potter. And if this was just a bad start in isolation, then you could say, okay, well, West Ham might be able to bounce back in this game, but they've been underwhelming and poor ever since Potter came in back at the start of the year. He's had just 5 wins in 20 games in charge, and I feel he's already fighting a bit of a losing battle with the West Ham supporters. I think Chelsea will win this game. I think it'll be quite low scoring, though. Chelsea, their attacking lineup with all the signings that have come in over the summer, are still trying to gel. They only managed 3 shots on target despite having 70% of the possession against Crystal Palace. I think they'll just about get over the line. They did the double over West Ham last season as well. But yeah, a 1-0, a 2-0. I'm looking at backing Chelsea in under 2.5 goals, which actually, to me, seems to provide decent value.
We're going to head across London now and focus on the 5:30 game on Saturday evening. Two teams who won 1-0 on the opening weekend face each other as Arsenal come up against Leeds. Arsenal 27-100 to claim the victory here. Strong favourites with Leeds as big as 8-1 to pick up the 3 points. It's 21-4 the draw. Arsenal weren't necessarily, I would describe, impressive, Tom, in the win at Old Trafford. Got the job done. They've had a few issues this week with Kai Havertz picking up a knee injury along the way.
Yeah, and that will be a blow because he provides another attacking alternative to Victor Gyökeres. Eberechi Eze looks like he is going to be making the move, which would help fill the void left by Havertz. But yeah, it was an okay start for Arsenal. The result was good, and that's all that really matters maybe at this stage of the season. But they weren't that great. The performance was lacking, particularly in attacking areas. And Manchester United, for me, were probably the better side. This will be a tough test against the Leeds team, who, as we mentioned earlier, got that win against Everton. I did think they were the better team over the 90 minutes at Elland Road and probably worthy of the 3 points in the end. So they'll make things difficult for Arsenal. Arsenal do have a good record against Leeds, so that has to be kept in mind. They've won the last 6 meetings between the two, and they're actually unbeaten in 14 since a rather famous 3-2 loss to Leeds at Highbury back in 2003, which, if memory serves, I think that went a long way to costing Arsenal the title that year. So it's a long time since Leeds got a result against Arsenal. They've never won at the Emirates, so I expect Arsenal to win this game. But similarly to Chelsea, I think they're still finding their feet, particularly as an attacking unit, trying to get the best out of Gyökeres and one or two others. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Arsenal to win, but under 2.5 goals again.
What Daniel Farke would give to have Mark Viduka in his prime up front, Dan, heading to the Emirates on Monday night. On Saturday night, I should say. I do think it's just a little bit of lacking firepower, which would be concerning for Leeds at the minute.
That's what I think. I think they're going to have to do something in the window offensively. I watched the Everton game and they didn't really look like scoring to me. I know they did score in the end. It was a slip and a controversial penalty decision. But I thought Everton kind of just sat back for the whole first half and were fairly comfortable. Then Everton, you know, pushed on a bit in the second half. And I thought they were the more likely team to win the game, actually. But probably paid the price. If you sit back for the whole first half, you get what you deserve. But Leeds, I think they do need more up front. I'm not sure Pirou's going to be getting, you know, lots of goals in the Premier League for them. And I think the defence as well, I think against better teams, he's probably possibly going to get found out as well. Arsenal were almost simply getting criticised for winning away to Manchester United in the opening day of the season. They scored early, so it's kind of natural in a way. When you take the lead early, you are going to maybe, you know, take your foot off the gas and sit in and defend the lead. They probably did that a bit too much, but they got the win. I think they're going to have much too much for Leeds, and I don't think they'll concede. So Arsenal to win 2-0 for me.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few Leeds fans wondering whether Dominic Calvert-Lewin might well feature, but I don't think he's had any pre-season, so it might be another couple of weeks until we see Calvert-Lewin in a Leeds jersey. We're going to head off to Turf Moor next for the game between two of the newly promoted sides. We're no way calling this a six-pointer at the second weekend of the Premier League season, but Burnley against Sunderland could be big at this early part of the campaign. Burnley 5-4 to pick up the 3 points. Sunderland 12-5 and the draw 21-10. Remember this game, Dan, from last year, because pretty sure Isidore missed 2 penalties, didn't he, at Turf Moor?
Yeah, it was an incredible game, wasn't it? Sunderland actually played pretty well on the night, but there weren't many chances in the game. If this was in the Championship, I would have had no hesitation in sort of going for the draw. But as you mentioned there, I know it's early in the season, but both teams are going to be looking at this as a game that they probably think they need to be trying to push to get a win out of because it's so hard to get wins in the other games. So that's why I'm going to pick a side. I'm going to go with Sunderland odds against on the draw, no bet. I just think with the signings that they've made, they've done a lot better in the market than Burnley. They've got the confidence from that fantastic win against West Ham. And Burnley, while they were probably, you know, harshly treated by the 3-0 score at Spurs, it is a poor start for them. There'll be pressure on them, you know, to win this game. and they might be maybe a little bit more aggressive than they might, would have been in this fixture last season. They were quite defensive in some of these fixtures against the promotion rivals at home last season. I think they'll maybe go for it a bit more and could get punished. Sunderland draw no bet for me.
I know it seems strange, Tom, talking about pressure two games into the season, but you could say there is a little bit of pressure because of this fixture on Burnley to respond.
Yeah, I think there is because of how the other two promoted teams performed last weekend. And as you say, it's not a six-pointer at this early stage in the season, but there could be, come the close of play on Saturday, a six-point gap between these two sides if Sunderland get the victory. For me, this one's a game for neutrals to avoid, really. That's saying it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but recent meetings suggest there's not going to be many goals. Just looking back, the last three meetings have featured just one goal that came for Sunderland last season. The last two clashes at Turf Moor have been goalless. And I look back at the last Premier League meeting between the two sides as well, which doesn't have a bearing really on what's going to happen on Saturday. But for added context, that also finished 0-0 in March 2017. So I think this could be a low-scoring, nervy affair. We've mentioned, Dan said, the importance both sides will place on winning this game, but I don't think there's going to be much between them. So I'm not imagining there's going to be more than one goal. I'm going with under 1.5 goals as my tip.
Well, the next stop for us is Craven Cottage, 4:30 on Sunday for Fulham against Manchester United. Fulham are 12-5 to pick up the win. United 11-10 and the draw 5-2. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Manchester United, I've heard people say, were a heck of a lot better last weekend than they were the previous season. And other people saying, well, that's not difficult, but at least there are some positive signs for Ruben Amorim.
Absolutely. I was quite upbeat about their chances going into the Arsenal game, and they didn't get anything from the match ultimately. But as we mentioned earlier, I think they were decent. There were signs of improvement. The bar was low, as you say, but you know they're moving potentially in the right direction. And they're odds against to win away at Fulham, who have not done much business over the summer, as we mentioned last week, in terms of transfers. Yes, they dug in well and got that late equaliser against Brighton on the opening day, but not sure what we're going to get from Fulham this season. I don't think they're going to improve on what they did last term. And Manchester United tend to perform well when they face Fulham, if we disregard the FA Cup exit last season. They did the double over the Cottagers in the league, and they haven't lost at Craven Cottage since all the way back in 2009. So at odds against prices, I think there's value to be had in backing Manchester United. They're going to have setbacks over the course of the next few months, over the course of the season. But I do think there is improvement coming under Ruben Amorim, and I think they'll get their first victory of the campaign.
What did you think of United last week, Dan?
I was quite impressed with them. I certainly think they'll be a lot better than last season. I also think that the market's maybe just overreacting to that improvement. You've got to, you know, remember how far they've actually got to come to get into the top half, let alone to sort of push for sort of a European qualification or threaten the top five. So, and Fulham, they've not done a lot of business. They're still a very solid, well organised side. At home, they usually play with quite a bit of intensity. I don't think it's an easy place for United to go to. And United, the issue that I've got with them, I mean, they are favourites to win this game. They've only won four away games in the Premier League last season. I wouldn't be rushing to back them. I do think they're improving, though, and they're going to have a better season. I think they'll get a draw here at Craven Cottage. Draw for me.
OK, well, we're going to head off to the next game on our list now, which is at Selhurst Park. It's one of the 2 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday as Crystal Palace take on Nottingham Forest. Palace 13-10 to claim the victory here. 11-5 Forest and 23-10 the draw. We've mentioned Eze. It's, you know, to be seen, Dan, whether he'll play. I'm probably thinking not if these reporters we believe that he's very close to joining Arsenal. Just when Palace seem to be a real threat, I would say, for looking at top six and European football qualification again for next season. Obviously, they lose key players. How much of a loss is Eze going to be?
A massive loss. We also don't know what's happening with Mark Gerhey. There's constant speculation, over what's going to happen with him. You know, will something happen with that deal that rules him out of the game? So, for me, I would have already thought this fixture could have been a tricky one for Palace. They're playing Frederikstad in the Conference League playoff round on Thursday night. So again, although it's a game that they should win comfortably, to play it and then have to play again in the Premier League, a tough Premier League game 3 days later is not ideal. And Nottingham Forest, as Tom mentioned earlier, were very impressive in their opening game. Of Brentford have had their problems, but they got a well-deserved 3-1 win. We saw last season how effective that they can be on their travels, nice and solid at the back, danger from counter-attacks and set pieces. I think they're the likely winners, so I would take Forest, draw no better odds against.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Wood just continues to deliver, Tom, when you probably think, is he past his sell-by date now? Are Forest going to struggle with coping with European football? I mean, time will tell, but certainly that was an impressive display last weekend.
Yeah, it was. Chris Wood, he just seems to be the ideal foil in the ideal team with runners in behind him, Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs-White, Anderson, people we mentioned earlier on. It was really good from Forest against Brentford. And yeah, if I was going to go for a winner in this game, I would probably fancy them at Selhurst Park with, as Dan mentioned, Palace being involved in the Conference League on Thursday night, the uncertainty and speculation surrounding Eze and Gerhi. But this match does tend to finish as a draw. The last four meetings at Selhurst Park have been level. Four of the last six, home or away, have finished in draws as well. Palace will be up for this, considering what's happened in terms of them being demoted from the Europa League and Forest taking their place. It's a bit of, I'm going to bill it the UEFA FFP PSR multi-club ownership derby, which I don't think is going to ring off the tongue or, catch on anytime soon. But Palace will want to get something from this game. They won't want to lose on home soil. They've been decent so far in their opening two games in the Community Shield and against Chelsea last weekend. So I'm sitting on the fence, going with what's been the case of late when these two meet, and I'm looking at the draw.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect to see a bit of needle between Crystal Palace and Nottingham Forest, but it could well be the case this coming Sunday. At the same time, by the way, on Sunday, Everton take on Brighton, and I've got to get used to saying at the Hill Dickinson Stadium, because no longer, of course, Everton have that sort of comfort blanket of Goodison Park. They're at the new stadium, and Brighton are the first visitors at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Everton 2-1 to claim the victory in this game. 11-8 Brighton and 23-10 the draw. I think the price probably is figured around the new stadium syndrome, Tom, because 2-1 for Everton to win a home game against a team like Brighton seems like a massive price, but there are probably, as I say, underlying factors for that.
Yeah, I think it is a good price. And by the way, I had to write Hill Dickinson Stadium in block capitals just to remind me and not say Goodison Park. But yeah, I think actually because it's the first competitive home game, I think Everton will be desperate to get a result. And they have a good recent record against Brighton. They've only lost one of the last five meetings. And that run started a couple of seasons ago with an impressive 5-1 away success at the Amex. They won 1-0. At the Amex last season when the teams last met in January. I wasn't that impressed by Everton against Leeds on Monday night. They failed to have a shot in the first half, but I think they'll be a bit more progressive. They'll be a bit more, trying to get on the front foot in front of their home supporters. So as you say, that price, I think, is a real temptation to go for Everton. I can't go fully all in on them because, as I say, I thought they were quite poor against Leeds. So I'll be looking at the Everton draw no bet, which is still odds against them, for me, provides value.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Dan, to see how Everton not only react to that Leeds game, but also, react to being in a new stadium, a new setup. We've seen it before that teams do tend to struggle when they move to a new ground, especially when they've been, I would argue, so reliant on Goodison in recent seasons.
Yeah, I do think that the move from Goodison will affect them because Goodison was just such a unique place, really. I mean, going there, I've been there as an away supporter, and it's a lot of people, managers lazily say pretty much every week, this is a hard place to go. Well, Goodison really was a hard place to go for visiting teams. The crowd are right on top of you. They influence refereeing decisions. They get the home players going, and they can intimidate, some of the opposition players. So I think it will be an issue for them long term. I agree with Tom, though. I think the fact it's the first game, they're going to be so up for it, and the crowd are going to be up for it. And I think it's a tough test this for Brighton. That 2-1, I'm just going to go for it. I think it's overpriced. I think they'll be much more progressive than they were in the game at Leeds. Away to a newly promoted team with that atmosphere was always going to be a bit of a holding operation. I think they'll really go for it this time. Grealish will probably, he got a good sort of 25 minutes, half an hour. He'll get more minutes, maybe even start, you know, and Brighton, you know, they had a decent season last season. If you compare the kind of form, though, since Moyes went into Everton and Brighton over the same period of time, there's not really much of a difference. You know, if anything, maybe even Everton, I've not looked at the stats here, but Everton certainly did as well as Brighton over that period. And with home advantage, 2-1, got to be worth taking for me.
Okay, well, we'll conclude the Premier League roundup of week two with 2 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday, starting at the GMEX Community Stadium, where Brentford take on Aston Villa. The Bees 5-2 to claim the victory. Villa 21-20 and 13-5 the draw. Clear to say, I think that both teams will have been frustrated with their opening fixtures, Dan, but especially Brentford, got a lot to kind of bounce back from.
Yeah, Brentford more by the result. I think Villa would have been very frustrated by their level of performance against Newcastle. I wouldn't say shocked, I think that's overdoing it, but I was surprised by how ordinary they were. I just wonder whether there was such a lot of talk about Newcastle struggling to cope with the Isak situation going into it. Maybe Villa were not really, you know, focused on their own, you know, performance and really, you know, performing at the level. And they looked off it. And I don't think there'll be as much off it at Brentford. I think Unai Emery's a really good manager and he'll have sorted some things out on the training ground this week. I just think there'll be more intensity about Villa. And I don't think they're going to have to be that great to win at Brentford. They had a poor start at Nottingham Forest. You've lost the manager. You've lost key players in Nurgard and Bermo. Wissa is, you know, completely unsettled at the moment. So, to me, it looked a good game for Villa last week, didn't it, when they had Newcastle at that stage. This looks a good game for them again. This time, I think they'll win.
Yeah, I have to say, I was quite surprised to see they were odds against, Tom, to be honest with you. I imagine that Villa will see this as a big opportunity to get more points on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they have a decent record against Brentford as well, doing the double over the Bees last season. They've won the last two when visiting the G-Tech. And I think this will be the poorest Brentford side they've faced in a long, long time as well, certainly in the Premier League era. And I just wrote down Brentford were pretty terrible against Forest and Villa were low-key poor against Newcastle. I think low-key poor beats pretty terrible, though. So I think Aston Villa should have the quality. They'll expect a better performance, certainly from an attacking perspective, than what they produced against Newcastle. And I watched Brentford against Nottingham Forest last Sunday, and it was alarming for Keith Andrews. They were so poor going forward, really weak defensively. Everyone looked nervy on the ball, from Kelleher in goal to the forward players. Yeah, it was a really concerning performance for Brentford. So, yeah, Villa are the value to win this one.
Okay, last but not least, we head to the Vitality Stadium for another 3 o'clock Saturday game. Bournemouth against Wolves. Bournemouth 4-5 to claim the victory. Wolves 16-5 and the draw 14-5. Wolves have got a lot of question marks over them still. Bearing in mind, they've lost the best two players of last season, Tom. Starting off with a comprehensive home defeat. Granted, it was against Manchester City, but this looks like a tall order on paper.
Yeah, it does. And Wolves fall into the camp with West Ham and Brentford of being a team to be concerned about, I would say, in the long term this season. You can set aside the defeat to City. A lot of teams have and will again be beaten heavily by City. But this will be a tough trip to the Vitality. I thought Bournemouth were good against Liverpool on the opening night. Got those two goals, showed plenty of fighting spirit and, you know, managed to almost get a point off the champions. So if I was going to go for a winner in this game, I would favour Bournemouth, but I'm looking at goals instead, over 3.5 in the match. As I mentioned, Bournemouth good going forward against Liverpool. They still conceded 4 goals and, of course, are still dealing with the loss of key players, 3 of last season's back four and their first-choice goalkeeper last season are no longer there. So they're finding their feet defensively. Wolves conceded 4 against City, had the worst defence out of the sides that weren't relegated in the Premier League last season. And just one to mention as well, when these two sides met at Molineux last season, it finished 4-2. And that was the game where Justin Kluivert scored his hat-trick of penalties. So we could have a similar outcome in this game, and I'm looking to back over 3.5 goals.
I think Tom's alluded to it there, Dan. You know, Bournemouth were probably not given the credit they deserve for the performance at Anfield last week. A lot was said about Liverpool, but they were impressive at times, and they've gone on and added Ben Doak to the squad this week.
They were, but it's kind of one-match form. They've conceded 4 goals. We said before the game with the defenders that they were... I mean, we're talking about Wolves, obviously lost Ait Nouri and Cunha, but Bournemouth have lost, you know, three of their back four. And they have gone... I know Liverpool away is a really tough opening day test, but they have conceded 4 goals. And I just think they're too short here. Since Vitor Pereira went into Wolves after 16 games last season, last 22 games, Wolves took 33 points. In the same amount of time, Bournemouth took 31. So, you know, Wolves are odds against here to get a result. Bournemouth, in terms of home advantage, it doesn't seem to be worth as much to them as other teams. They've had seven home defeats they had last season. They lost 5 times away from home. So, while this defence settles down for Bournemouth, I know they're bringing extra. They've brought two defenders in for decent money, but it's going to take a while to settle down. Wolves, I agree, are looking lesser a threat up front. I thought they actually started okay against City and then fell behind and struggled after that. But I'm going to give them another chance here. I'm going to Wolves or draw, double chance.
Okay, well, that is all of the Premier League action covered then for Game Week 2. Next up, it's your FPL update, and then we'll be back to discuss the EFL. Well, now here is Tom Hill to discuss all things Fantasy Premier League ahead of Week 2.
It's Game Week 2 in Fantasy Premier League, and we will once again be taking a look at the three best players for your team. Last week, Pedro Porro and Mohamed Salah did the goods for us. The Spurs ace picked up 6 points with a clean sheet, while Salah grabs 8 with his late goal in that thrilling battle at Anfield against Bournemouth. In defence this week, it's Chelsea's Mark Cucurella, and at £6 million, he looks enticing. The Spaniard picked up 8 points in Week 1 thanks to 2 bonus points he collected against Crystal Palace. This week, he faces West Ham on Friday, and the 3 penalty box touches last time out with 2 shots make sure that he makes our shortlist. He plays so far up the pitch under Enzo Maresca, and he faces a West Ham team that were thumped by Sunderland, and the fans may turn on them if things start poorly. Into midfield, and Tijani Reinders is the man that stole the spotlight in Week 1. 10 goals last season for AC Milan, and he started the new year with a goal and an assist against Man City opponents Wolves. He was booked, but a return of 10 points catches the eye. He's already gone up in price to £5.6 million, and the stats support it. 56 touches in the opponent's half, 30 of them in the final third, and 3 shots and 2 of them from inside the penalty area. He faces Tottenham, who have started well under Thomas Frank, but it's the manner of that performance that mean that we cannot say no, especially with some managers taking the plunge in the last few days. Up front, Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins at £9 million let us down a little last week with a timid display against Newcastle. That was not an individual thing, though, with Villa a little bit below par, and Game Week 1 can be quite reactionary. Watkins is a solid and reliable pick. He scored 16 goals and grabbed 8 assists last season. He got 5 pre-season goals in the summer, and he's got a great record against Brentford, his former club. The England international has scored 6 goals and got 1 assist in 7 games against the Bees, and it's that extra motivation to impress his former employers is why we cannot say no.
Well, a big thanks to Tom Hill for his FPL update. We're going to head to the EFL now to look at the best bets this weekend, but also looking at the Championship to start off with. 3 teams only with 100% records in the Championship, and perhaps not the 3 teams that people would have imagined after this stage of the season: Stoke, West Brom and Middlesbrough. Are you surprised, Dan, of those 3 teams in particular 100%? And if any of them, who do you think looks good in terms of a potential promotion battle?
I don't think I'd be fancy any of them really to sustain it. Sometimes it's just the way the fixtures fall. I mean, Stoke have had Derby at home. Derby have got tons of injuries at the moment, been slow to get their business done. They got 2 goals in injury time, got a 3-1 win. Then they've got Sheffield Wednesday, who are in all sorts of turmoil, and they've gone and won 3-0. Do I think Stoke will be better than last season? Yes. Do I think they're going to be pushing all of a sudden for, you know, top 6? Probably not. I mean, the other two, Middlesbrough, got a scratchy 1-0 win, didn't they, against Swansea, and the 3-0 win at Millwall was very flattering, really. Mill kind of dominated while the game was 0-0, and Middlesbrough got two late goals. It was a third team, Warren, who's got 100%.
West Brom as well, yeah.
West Brom, they probably made the most impressive start out of the three. But you know, they're kind of dealing with a reduced budget at the moment, year on year. Ryan Mason's gone in there, started well. Out of the three, they would be the ones I'd give the best chance of getting in the top six.
Yeah, it's three, as I say, probably teams that not many people expect to see up there. Tom, what caught your eye in terms of the EFL last weekend? Some interesting scorelines.
Yeah, and you know, the Stoke victory over Sheffield Wednesday did catch my eye. I have been impressed by them at the start of the season, but Dan's right to caveat that they've, you know, had favourable fixtures in the opening two games, and I think they will slip back down the pack. I think a top half finish isn't beyond them, something they haven't achieved since being relegated back to the Championship in 2018. So improvement from Stoke, but I can't see them challenging for the title. I've liked, I'm going to mention a little bit later on, Charlton made a decent start to life back in the second tier. A lot of the talk has been made, hasn't it, about Birmingham and Wrexham, big spending, famous owners. A lot of the focus is on those too. But Charlton, under the radar with Nathan Jones in charge, for me, have caught the eye. Yet to concede in their two league games, 4 points so far. And I think, yeah, they, with pressure slightly not on them, certainly externally, I think they could have a decent campaign.
Dan, just before we get to your best bets for the EFL this weekend, I wanted to ask you about the teams that were relegated from the Premier League, because we've looked at the likes of Leicester, Ipswich and Sheffield United and thought, well, they probably should be there or thereabouts. All three of them have made a disappointing start.
Yeah, Ipswich, Leicester and Southampton. I just think, I don't think there's going to be a situation like last season when any of these relegated teams are going to suddenly like run away with it and pick up. I mean, Burnley, it was two seasons, wasn't it? But Burnley came down and got 100 points in the season straight after. Sheffield United, although they didn't make it, you know, still racked up, you know, reached the 90-point barrier, didn't they? I don't see this happening this time. I think they'll... Leicester, I've got real quick question marks over. I just think there's been a lot of churn and change there. It could even be further weakened. I think El Canoes has been strongly linked with a move away. Wasn't impressed with them when they beat Sheffield Wednesday, and then they went to Preston and lost. Ipswich, yeah, I think they've got a very strong squad for the level. Got to prove that they can replace players like Delap and Hutchinson, though. Southampton, from what I've seen so far, I was sweeter on Ipswich at the start. I think Southampton are settling a bit nicer. They come from behind to beat Wrexham at home. Got that nice, good 1-1 draw at Ipswich as well. And they're kind of getting rid of that mental baggage that they have from losing so many games last season. So they would, out the three at the moment, tentatively, they would be my favourable team to go well.
OK, well, Dan's going to bring us his best bets from the EFL now. We'll have one from each division. And we'll start off with a Championship, Dan. Here's your best bet here.
Yeah, I mentioned that the Millwall Middlesbrough game last week, Middlesbrough losing 3-0 and it not being really a fair reflection. And I think Millwall, they're going to Sheffield United this weekend. I still think Millwall are going to have a good season. And I think Millwall draw, double chance, a shade of odds on. I think it's a real solid bet. They went to Norwich and won 2-1 in their opening game. A deserved 2-1 win as well in a tough fixture. And Sheffield United have been awful so far. 4-1 loss at home to Bristol City. 1-0 loss at Swansea when they created very little. I think the budget's been cut there at Sheffield United. There's Gus Hamer's now been, you know, strongly linked with a move away. I think it's a really good time at the moment to go there. I don't think Bramall Lane will be rocking this weekend. I think Millwall can go there and get at least a point.
Yeah, there was an incident with Gus Hamer and the away fans at Sheffield United's last away game where he was having a few words to say with some of the travelling supporters. Yeah, looks like all is not well in the Blades camp at the moment. So Millwall is the Championship pick. Who are we looking at in League One, Dan?
I'm going to go with Huddersfield to win at home to tabletop in Stevenage. The shade of odds against, I think you can get for Huddersfield, even if it's around evens, I think that's reasonable. I take views on teams, and you could, it's early season form, but you've got to try and think, where are these teams going to be at the end of the season? I think Huddersfield, they've got 9 points at the moment from the first four games. I think they can sustain it, and they're going to be real contenders under Lee Grant for a top two finish. Stevenage, who have won their first four, I'm not so sure they will sustain it. The 2-0 they won at home to Northampton, who have had a poor start last weekend, that was a very tight, even game. First goal kind of decided it. They then went to Port Vale on Tuesday. They got two late goals and won 2-1. But Port Vale, who haven't won a game yet, were dominant for the majority of that game. I'm not sure Stevenage, I think they'll have a decent season, but I don't think they're going to be massive promotion contenders. Huddersfield, I think, will be. And home advantage, that kind of price, I don't think you would get that price for this fixture later in the season. So Huddersfield to win that one for me.
Yeah, and we mentioned about teams lacking a cutting edge. That's certainly not something that Huddersfield will struggle with this season. So Millwall and Huddersfield so far. And to complete the three selections, Dan, who are we looking at in League Two?
I'm going to go with Grimsby, odds against to win at Accrington. I think David Artell's done a real good job at Grimsby. He's a very good coach. He's sort of steadily building up their squad. He's added a great striker, Jay's Cabia. He's given him a new dimension up front, lots of pace and power. He's scoring goals. They got a great 1-0 win away to Walsall in the week. They're on 10 points at the moment after four games. I think the only points they dropped, they got a 3-3 away to Harrogate, where they scored two late goals to snatch a point. And Harrogate are unbeaten at the moment. So Accrington have had a free week, which means they're going to be fresh. But they've got 1 point from three games at the moment. Grimsby odds against the way they're playing looks a good bet to me.
Okay, so just a reminder that Dan's three selections from the EFL this week: Millwall in the Championship, Huddersfield in League One, and Grimsby in League Two. We're going to turn our attentions back to the Premier League now with a bet builder. And Tom, I think you're going to look at Monday evening's big game at St James's Park.
Yeah, focusing on the Newcastle Liverpool game, not to be billed as the Alexander Isak derby, but yeah, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, I'm going to start the bet builder with looking at goals in the game, over three goals to be exact. I think, you know, over the years, these two sides have been involved in entertaining games. They played out a 3-3 at St James's last season, and you know, Newcastle did draw a blank against Aston Villa on the opening weekend. Of course, their attacking prowess is damaged by Isak's unavailability at the moment, but they'll fancy their chances against a Liverpool side that are giving up opportunities, conceded two against Bournemouth. And yeah, I think at the moment, Arnie Slot's side seems to be trying to outgun teams. So I expect both teams to score, and certainly three goals to be netted in the match, or over three goals to be netted in the match. My second pick is I'm looking at maybe a bit of a feisty affair as well at St James's. Some of those Newcastle players will be really fired up. They'll be annoyed with the Isak situation, and maybe they'll slightly take it out on one or two Liverpool players. So I could see cards in this game as well. I'm looking at over four in the match. There's contenders out there, isn't there, to be booked on both sides. You look at that Newcastle midfield with Joe Linton and Bruno Guimarães. Milos Kerkez got booked for Liverpool against Bournemouth and looks a little bit vulnerable defensively. The lack of defensive cover in the middle of the park for Liverpool as well means one or two players might be drawn into fouls. So, yeah, I'm looking at over four cards as my second part of the bet builder, with the third one being a little bit more specific. I just mentioned him there, Joe Linton to be booked. Always good value for a yellow card. He got 10 last season. It's the second time in the last three Premier League campaigns that he's reached double figures for yellow cards. He was booked against Villa last week, and I feel like every time you look at the who's got the most yellow cards in any given Premier League season, he's somewhere near the top of that list. So Joe Linton to be booked is my third and final selection.
Okay, thanks very much, Tom. We will head on now to the assist treble, which led us down late on last week with a Wickham equaliser at Doncaster, or else we'd have had three from three. We will start off with Dan's selection first. Who's your pick for the assist treble, Dan?
Yeah, I mentioned that Southampton are probably, you know, at the edge among the recent relegated clubs. I think they'll win at home to Stoke. It's only like a shade of odds on. So, you know, decent, you know, bet to bump up your treble. Had a nice solid start, beating Wrexham 2-1, drawing 1-1 at Ipswich. Stoke, as I mentioned earlier, the fixtures have really fallen in their favour with the 3-1 win at home to Derby and the 3-0 win at Sheffield Wednesday. This is much tougher than either of those two games.
OK, so Dan's going for Southampton in the Championship. What's your selection, Tom?
Yeah, I've gone in the Championship as well. I mentioned them a little bit earlier on. I think Charlton and the draw no bet market against Leicester offer good value. That's available odds against Charlton. 4 points, no goals conceded from their two games since earning promotion. And Leicester have been really underwhelming. Dan mentioned it earlier on. Fortunate to beat a Sheffield Wednesday side with all kinds of problems on the opening weekend. Poor in defeat away at Preston last time out. I think it could be a pretty tough season overall for Marty Cifuentes and the Foxes. So, yeah, look at Charlton to get a decent result at the Valley.
Okay, and I'm going to make it a championship treble because I'm going for West Brom to beat Portsmouth. I was really impressed. I saw the Baggies beat Wrexham 3-1 last weekend. They're around about 4-5 to claim another victory and make it 3 wins out of 3. Just think the likes of Carlin Grant and Isaac Price look like real top quality championship players at the moment going forward. Price got 2 against Wrexham, and Nat Phillips was really solid at the back as well, the former Liverpool centre-back. He mopped up everything that Wrexham had to throw at him, particularly Kiefer Moore, who's always a handful, of course. And Pompey come into this game off the back of what will be a frustrating home defeat to Norwich, where they were 2 goals behind within the first 15 minutes. And as we know from the last couple of seasons, their away form has not been the best either. I just think West Brom will probably have too much for Pompey. So we're going with Southampton, Charlton draw no bet, and West Brom in this week's assist treble. And we'll wrap up this week's tips with the naps from Tom and Dan. Tom, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm looking at Aston Villa to win away at Brentford. Brentford were so poor against Nottingham Forest last weekend. The doom and gloom surrounding them in the build-up to the new season, they seem to be buying into that because they look nervous and, yeah, really poor. Villa weren't that great against Newcastle, but have a good record against Brentford. Won their last 2 at the G-Tech, so they're the value for me to pick up the 3 points.
OK, it's Villa for Tom. And who are you siding with on the nap, Dan?
I'm going to go for Millwall or draw, double chance at Sheffield United. I think that was a bit of a blip, Millwall losing 3-0 to Middlesbrough last week. They had an effort clear off the line at 0-0. They had an effort that hit both posts at 1-0 down and then conceded 2 very late goals. I think Sheffield United are in a bit of a mess at the moment. The confidence probably still not recovered from the playoff final defeat. The squad doesn't look as strong. And I think when you're playing a side like Millwall that are strong in the spine of the team, like you, Tanganga and Cooper, one of the best centre-back pairings in the division, Ivanovic and Coburn are a real threat, you know, up front for them. I can see Millwall getting at least a point.
OK, so the naps this weekend for Tom, Aston Villa, and it's Millwall for Dan. So a big thanks to both Dan and Tom for all of their efforts this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We'll be back again with the assist next week. For now, enjoy your football this weekend. And please, as always, remember to gamble responsibly.